next week celebrates his 30th anniversary as an entertainer of His Majesty the Great American Public. Meet Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Harry, I wish you hadn't brought up my 30th anniversary. You make me feel like an old man. Now, after all, I'm not creeping around the microphone here, am I?
Well, Fred, you're not exactly bounding around like a gazelle.
Well, I am not here for an Adagio audition, Harry. Although I...
Oh, that was a beautiful leap you took.
Nothing to compare with the leap I once took at the end of 13 weeks on the Linnet program. When the occasion warrants, Harry, speaking about my senility, who's got croup? Is that in the orchestra?
I think that
we
is...
We ask you to stop bringing those people from the croup theater in here. When the occasion warrants, I can give vent to the fawn in me and frisk about like a centaur.
Like a centaur.
Yes.
That's very good.
Centaur.
What is a centaur?
Well, many people think that a centaur is an interlocutor in a football line, but that is not it. A centaur, Harry, is a fabled monster who has the body of a man from the waist up, and from the waist down, the centaur is a horse. Is the picture clear?
Oh, yes. You're a centaur, all right.
Now, look, if I were a real centaur, Harry, and I walked up to you, you wouldn't know whether to shake hands or put $2 on me.
Well, never mind the centaurs, Fred. Is this really your 30th anniversary?
Yes, Harry. I made my first stage appearance doing a juggling act in 1910. By the time I had picked up all of the things I dropped that first show, it was 1912.
Oh, gee, things must have been a lot different back in 1910. Perhaps.
No, it's surprising, Harry. They were just about the same. In 1910, Mr. Hughes was appointed to the Supreme Court. He's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
In 1910, Woolworth opened his first store in England. Woolworth is still in business, isn't he?
Yeah, with that necktie you're wearing, you ought to know.
In 1910, I had no answer for that, so I left nothing. In 1910, Glenn Curtis flew from Albany to New York. Politicians are still flying out of Albany today, Harry.
That is correct.
In 1910, the big song hit was Come Josephine and My Flying Machine.
Why, the Merrimacks just sang that song on the program a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's what I mean, Harry. Everything is just the same as it was back in 1910, and that goes for me, too.
Oh, well, back in those days, Fred, you were an amateur.
Yes, everything's the same as it was back in 1910.
Imagine that. Phil Harris, a straight man, trying to get in. Yes, everything was the same. They come on here from We the People. They find out, don't they? A straight line here is better than that comedy on We the People. Give us that line again, a foundation for something that may come
Want
off.
Want to build
here.
Up, Pete?
Yeah, give it to us again.
Okay, where was it? Well, back in those days,
not
Fred.
You. Give it to Pete. Just Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Yes, everything's the same as it was back in 1910, Harry.
You see, his lines do not improve with age.
No better.
Yes, everything is the same as it was back in 1910. Everything but your salary, Mr. Van Steeden, and I'm going to attend to that tonight.
Oh, you're going to split the atom, eh?
Any kind of a line you give him, nothing happens. He can get accident insurance very cheap on his lines. Nothing will happen at the end. Well, doggone you, Van Steeden. I'm in a temporary rage. You do it every time. And now, the merriment having reached its peak, we turn to the latest news of the week. Ipana News presents The World in Review. Jamaica, New York. Jamaica racetrack opens with new pari mutuel machines replacing bookmakers as a result of recent state law. Pari mutuels prove instantaneous success as 25,000 racing fans jam Jamaica track and bet over $8,000 on the opening day. Ipana News visits the racetrack to get public's reaction to betting innovation. State Senator Bilbo Tweezer has some interesting statistics on prospective paramutual returns. You have the figures, of course, Senator.
Yes, I've got them right here. Will you hand me the papers out of my coat tail?
Around here, yes, I'll be glad.
That's the worst of these swallowtail coats. A man with short arms can't reach anything in his back pockets.
Couldn't you get a pulley set in the seam or something? I'll get them right out.
Be careful of that bottle in there. It's whiskey.
Oh, you drink, do you?
As a duty. I'm cooperating with the mayor during the water shortage. I'm drinking whiskey.
But the water shortage is over.
Who asked you?
I'm sorry. Well, here are your figures, Senator.
Thank you. This tweezer at one of the Parimutuel shows that everybody wins.
Everybody wins? How do you mean?
Well, during the racing season, $100 million will be wagered.
Well, how does everybody win?
The state collects $50 million in taxes. The state wins, right?
Right.
The racetrack collects $50 million in revenues. The track wins, right?
Right.
The little man who bets $2. The
little man wins?
He loses.
Ah, the little man loses.
Ah, but he wins.
But how? Now, wait a minute, Senator. If the little man loses, how can he win?
He can't keep betting his $2 forever, can he?
No.
He's got to go broke sometime, ain't he?
Yeah.
That's where the little man wins.
Well, I don't...
What does the little man do when he's broke?
I don't know.
He applies to the state parade, don't he?
Yes, I guess he does.
The state gives him money, don't it?
Well, yes.
Where does the state get the money to give the little man?
You mean?
Right. From the $50 million little men like him lost at the track in the first place.
In other words?
It's a vicious circle. Everybody wins, including the horses.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Senator. How do the horses win? All a horse gets for running is a mess of oats.
That ain't hay, brother.
You bet, and thank you, Senator Bilbo Tweezer. A bookmaker who points out the Parimutuel shortcomings is Hot Horse Sam. Where do the Parimutuels fall down, Sam?
Well, first, they ain't got no personality.
No?
A horse player don't get no kick out of beating no machine. With a bookmaker, he enjoys it.
Oh, the horse player dislikes the bookmaker.
It's instinct, like Damon and Runyon.
Oh, the historical characters.
Yeah, and another thing. With them machines, the lowest you can bet is $2.
Oh, and you, as a bookmaker, took smaller bets, did you?
Look. If I seen a little gray-haired old lady sneaking a buck out of her stocking, I'd tip me hat and say, "What's on your mind, Ma? A seven-horse parley?"
No machine will extend that courtesy.
You said it, Butch.
No,
why, if I seen a little boy with a dime in his hand running for a hot dog, I'd stop the boy, get him to put it on a horse. When he lost the dime... They taught him a lesson.
And thanks to you bookmakers...
Old ladies and kids was getting action.
Well, thanks a lot. Francis, what are you doing now, Sam?
Oh, well, I'm laying low till them very neutrals blows over.
You're not working?
Well, I got a little spot up in Poughkeepsie, you see. I'm opening a rabbit track.
Oh, you mean a dog track with the mechanical rabbit?
No. I'm racing rabbits. I wake it with an electric head of lettuce.
Oh, my God. Well, since you are an old horseman, Sam, tell me, who do you like in the Derby?
Well, I...
I say, who do you like in the Derby?
Oh, Al Smith.
I'll play him across the board, and thank you, Hot Horse Sam. A young lady who attended the track opening day was Miss Mavis Mildew. You were there, Mavis.
Hey, would you mind using my pen name? It's Bo Bell.
Bo Bell, you're a newspaper woman, are you?
Yeah, I'm fashion editor on the racing form.
Oh, I see.
You see, when a girl writes in a newspaper, you don't use your real name. You gotta coin up a nom de plume.
Oh, wait. Nom de plume?
Yeah, that's French for don't give your right name. So I'm Bo Bell.
And you say you are the fashion editor on the racing form.
Yeah, and I'm also running a dope column for ladies under the name of Feedback Fanny.
Well, do you, do you play the horses yourself?
Well, if I get a hot one, I'll go for a couple of skins.
Well, this is very interesting, but about the Parimutuels. Can you give us my turn, wasn't it? I thought I had a show line. It was a place line there. Can you, about the Parimutuels, can you give us the woman's angle?
Women around the racetracks is dope.
You've seen specific instances?
Yeah, the opening day. One dame hired a horse was scratched. She went around to the paddock with mercurial chrome.
Imagine that.
Somebody yelled there at the post, 20 dames run out looking for Emily.
But society women is...
Ah, them dodgers make me laugh.
How do you mean?
I heard one old dame bragging about a mink coat. She set it down.
Yeah?
When the guy blew the bugle, the mink coat went to the post with six other horses.
Well, tell me, Bo Bell, did you select the best-dressed woman at Jamaica the opening day?
Yeah, I give her four fetlocks in my column Tuesday.
Four fetlocks? I've heard of 3.5 whipple trees in your column, but never. Well, who was the best-dressed woman?
Mrs. Divine Ledbetter of Tuxedo Junction.
Really?
She was the best-dressed woman coming and going.
Mrs. Ledbetter wore two different creations, did she?
Yeah, when she arrived at the threat, she was wearing a gown by Schiaparelli, a hat by Lucille, shoes by Janet, and furs by I.J. Fox.
What did Mrs. Ledbetter wear leaving the track?
A barrel by Rupert.
Thank you very much, Miss Mavis Millbrook. A small horse player who feels quite strongly about the paramutuals is Tyler Vance. What is your opinion of this new system of betting, Mr. Vance?
Well, them pari-mutuals is all wrong.
Really?
Yeah. They shouldn't have thrown out the bookies. They should have thrown out the touts.
Oh, you mean by touts, you mean those guys who give horse players unwanted advice.
Damn bums. Well, let me tell you what happened just last Saturday.
Do.
I'm at the track. I'm at the track, and I got $10.
Yeah.
In the first race, I like Creole. I'm just getting me dough down.
Yeah.
A tout sticks his thumb in my lapel, and he says, buddy, lay off, Creole. Bet wet biscuit.
What happened?
Well, I plays wet biscuit, and Creole wins.
What do you know?
Yeah. The second race, I'm just about to play high breeze. The tout says, psst, lay off a high breeze, play sitting bull.
What happened?
I play sitting bull, high breeze wins.
What do you know?
All afternoon, every time I start the bet, I'm grabbed by a tout, and he touts me off. Finally, I'm down to my last 60 cents. I gotta get home. I figure I'll buy my ticket to New York.
Yeah?
I'm on my way to the railroad station.
Yes?
A tout starts walking me over. I tell him I'm only buying a ticket to New York.
What happened?
He touts me off in New York. I end up a New Rochelle.
Well, thank you, Tyler Vance. Too bad you didn't stay there. Well, complaint wasn't worth the trip down, Tyler, really. Complaints may come and complaints may go, but the parimutuels are here to stay. The state can smile as it rakes in the tax money. The parimutuel officials can chuckle as they get theirs. The winners can be gay. Thank you. While our guest for the evening is being slowly unveiled, I'd like to ask all of you to remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Remember Ipana, or the smile of beauty.
Say, Fred, I hope you won't mind a suggestion, but I think that statement is unnecessarily long. Remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
It's too long, Harry?
Yes, Ipana is the largest selling toothpaste in America today.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest star tonight... hello, Portland. Say, you're late.
Yes, there's such a crowd, I couldn't get through. The studio is packed.
Yes, do you know the man on the door told me that this is the biggest crowd they have ever had in here?
But why should the studio suddenly be crowded tonight? There must be a reason.
There is. Benny's picture opened at the Paramount today. And people have to go someplace. Apparently, they're coming in here.
Did you hear Jack's program Sunday night? Was he funny?
Are you asking me or telling me?
Well, Jack said...
I heard him. I know what he said. He said, I make people laugh with a pair of breakaway suspenders. Now, according to Benny, my suspenders break away, and gravity and my trousers commune.
Do your suspenders break away?
Now, look, I have got on the same suspenders I wear every week. Now, look at this. Do these suspenders break away? I'm taking an awful chance, though. This could turn out to be Minsky's with no trouble at all. Do that my suspenders break?
No.
Well, that debunks the Benny propaganda, I guess.
But Jack said you had applause written on your underwear, too.
And I shall debunk that underwear.
Mr. Allen, you're not going to take off.
Now, don't worry, Portland. It's warm tonight. I happened to take off my underwear before the show started. And fortunately, I've got it right here. I've got it now. Applause written on my underwear. you are. Where's my place here? There you are. These sight laughs are no good. Your sight goes away from the thing. Well, there you are, Mr. Benny. We fling the lie in what's left of your teeth. A man who will stoop to underwear for libel fodder is, see who that is, will you, Harry?
Yeah, sure, Fred. Oh, thank you. Well, say, you better wait, son. There may be an answer.
What is it?
It's a note, Fred. It's open.
Open this? Oh, read it, Harry.
Yes, it says, Dear Fred, how are you, pal?
Yeah.
The new cinema masterpiece, Buck Benny Rides Again, is now playing at the Paramount Theater to tremendous business.
Wait a minute.
Nine forms at 9th Avenue.
That's not a person.
Signed, Jack Benny.
Oh, wait a minute.
P.S.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. They can't pull that stuff on this program. Let them put it up. Why, that Macy's Basement Cowboy? Who brought that commercial over here?
The boy's waiting for an answer, Mr.
Well,
Ballard.
Bring the boy in here. I'll send Benny an answer. Why, that nobody can tell me.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Why, so you brought that letter from Benny, Rochester.
I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my little fetches.
What? Well, why did you have to bring the letter all the way over here? Why didn't Benny mail it?
It was 2 cents against the wear and tear of my feet, and here I am.
Like that. Rochester, that boss of yours is the cheapest guy alive. Why, I'm surprised he even brought you east with him on the train.
What train?
Why, the train from Hollywood to New York.
Is that train still running?
Well, of course it is.
Well, I'll be doggone. Mr. Benny told me they took that train off.
Why, of all the cheap...
Mr. Benny said the engineer saved his money. He said the engineer stopped running the train regular. He was freelancing.
Freelancing with the engine, huh? Well, how did you get here?
Mr. Benny took me down to the Lincoln Highway and handed me a compass.
Yes?
Then he said, Rochester, you know what Horace Greeley said. Reverse it.
You had to thumb rides from Hollywood to New York?
Only in the daytime. At night, my thumb was a liability.
Why, that's the cheapest trick I've ever heard of. Now, confidentially, Rochester, have you ever seen anyone cheaper than Benny?
Well, so long, Mr. Allen.
No, you don't. Now, while you're here, I want to get the real... unadulterated lowdown on Benny.
I've got an option coming up.
Now, look, we don't want any true confession, Rochester. Just a short educational chat. You know how you run the household, what your routine is.
What you really want is my day.
That's it.
Well, all right. But don't let me say nothing derogatory about Mr. Benny.
You mean you are inclined to make an occasional slip?
Sometimes my subconscious bars my mouth.
Well, I'll watch it for you. Now, let's take an average day in the Benny household. Now, what happens?
Well, the first problem of the day is getting me up.
Who does that?
I've never been able to catch the party.
Well, after you are thoroughly aroused and dressed, what is your initial chore?
First, I wake up Mr. Benny. That takes a bit of doing.
You mean he's a heavy sleeper?
He sure hates to break it up with Morpheus.
I can imagine.
When other people's eyes are open, they're awake. That don't mean a thing to Mr. Benny.
He can still sleep with his eyes open?
He sure can. He's got short eyelids or something.
Well, after Benny is awake, what goes on?
I run his tub and strap on his water wings.
And after the master is bathed?
I assemble him.
You assemble him? Well, don't tell me you have to put Benny together every morning.
Mr. Benny's teething hair don't spring into place when he whistles.
Say, will you answer that phone, Harry?
Okay, Bradshaw.
Excuse me, Rochester, the phone rang.
Hello? Oh, just a minute, Mr. Benny. Say, Rochester, it's for you.
Uh-oh, CCC, here I come. Hello, boss. Now, take it easy, boss. No, sir. I won't spill another bean, Mr. Benny. Okay. Say, boss, you're all wrong about Mr. Allen. I've been here 5 minutes and I've still got my wallet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll back out when I leave. Well, Mr. Allen, the interview is over. Good evening, friend.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That was Mr. Livingston, I presume.
Yes, and the boss was pretty mad, too. He says he don't like me telling his private business to strangers.
Well, he didn't threaten you, did he?
Mr. Benny's exact words were, quote, "Watch what you say or else," unquote.
Or else what?
Emancipation is having a revival.
Well, don't worry about Benny Rochester. I can handle him. Now, let's get on with this exposé. Now, after you get Benny assembled, what happens?
Mr. Benny tosses me for my breakfast.
You lose, of course.
With unceasing regularity.
Well, after you drive Benny over to Paramount and get back to the house, what's your next move?
In the general direction of the icebox.
You eat again?
Again is superfluous.
Taking liberties with the syllables. That's right. Well, this time you eat your fill, and when you finish,
I put an IOU in the icebox. Then I wash the dishes in the swimming pool, sweep out the house and the hurricane cellar.
The hurricane cellar? Well, you don't have hurricanes out in Beverly Hills, do you?
No, sir, but we have bill collectors.
I get it. When creditors come around, Benny hides in his hurricane cellar. Is that right? Is that right, Rochester?
That ain't the phone ringing, is it?
Oh, forget about that. Guy Benny can hide from his creditors, but he can't hide from those bills that come in by mail. Now, what becomes of that avalanche of bills?
That ostrich has got to eat something.
You mean that Trudy depends on bills for her sustenance?
That bird has eaten so many please remits, she's laying eggs in her sister's name.
Rochester, old boy, say no more. You have divulged. Your word cameo of Benny is complete. Why, the man is a monument to avarice.
Uh-oh. If that's for me, try the Savoy Ballroom.
What can Benny do now? Go ahead, answer the phone.
Okay. Hello? Yes, boss? Now, take it easy, boss. Yes, I know what happened to Benedict Arnold.
Don't let that guy bully you. Why don't you quit that male Hetty Green and get a real job?
Is that an offer?
Yes, that is an offer. I could use a good man around the house.
It won't take me 2 minutes to write up my references.
Well, how would you like to work for me?
Define that word work, Mr. Allen. Much depends on that.
Well, it's nothing to do. You won't have much work around the house.
That's what Mr. Benny said.
You have Thursdays off, Sundays off, holidays off.
Mr. Benny said that, too.
Now we come to your salary.
That's where Mr. Benny stopped talking.
Say, that reminds me. What does he pay you, Rochester?
Well, Hello, boss. No, I ain't telling, boss. I'm just as much ashamed of it as you are. All right. I won't take Mr. Allen's offer. Why do I listen to him? Well, I can dream, can't I? Okay. Thank you, boss.
Well, Rochester, how about my offer?
It's too late, Mr. Allen. Mr. Benny's taken up my option. I guess I'll stick to him.
Well, everything happens for the best. Without you, Benny wouldn't be Benny. Of course, that would be an improvement. But I know you'd rather stay with him.
Yes, sir. Mr. Benny might be frugal, but on him it looks good.
Rochester, I'm glad your boss let you come over tonight. I certainly appreciate this visit. You're doing a swell job on Jack's program, and I hear confidentially you're great in his new picture. And we all wish you every success for the future.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Good night.
Good night, and thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have no serious objections, I'd like to conduct a little experiment at this point. You see, some expert has just burst into print with a statement that radio audiences listen with only half their minds and consequently have only a vague idea of what they hear.
Well, do you think you can change all that, Fred?
Well, no, Harry. All I want to do is to prove or disprove it.
Oh,
now, if I can just get someone within the range of these tired eyes... this gentleman here in the front row... pardon me, sir. Do you listen regularly to this program?
Every chance I get.
You're the one, hey? Well, would you mind stepping up? Would you mind stepping up to the microphone, sir? Thank you. Now, would you tell me in your own words what Mr. Von Zell says every week about Ipana toothpaste?
Well, I'll try.
Do.
Let's see. He recommends Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. And my dentist backs him up on it, too. He says if your gums are not firm and healthy, you seldom have good-looking...
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we usually have the question of the week. But today is Fred's 30th anniversary, and there's a gentleman in the studio audience tonight, a very special gentleman, a gentleman well-known to all of you, a great friend and admirer of Fred's. Ladies and gentlemen, I take
Harry,
great pleasure
Harry,
in present...
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say presenting to you Major Edward Bowes.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, Major Bowes was here the first program, Harry, but unfortunately, the Major hasn't been well lately, and he had to go home earlier this evening and won't be able to be here to congratulate me. show. But
well,
in order...
Now,
wait a minute. I know, but you're not the Major, after all. On the Crosley, socially or financially. But just so that our show to the coast will sound like the other show, we have a man who's been in the business as long as the Major, who is going to read the Major's lines as he, not as he read them, but the same lines, and that'll make the time come out all right. The sentiment may be lacking, but the time will be on time anyway. But, Harry, Uncle Jim has kindly volunteered to read the Major left his script here, and Uncle Jim is going to read. Now, you're the Major, Uncle Jim. I'll give you the Major's line as I threw it to him as only I can throw it. I threw the line to the Major a little short. He had to stoop over and get it, but I'll give it to you the full length. Good evening, Major. It's certainly a surprise to see you here, and very nice of you to come.
Fred, it's nice to be here.
Don't read it like the Major. I mean, get it. Somebody might be listening on the coast, the Shell Oil or somebody. You might get a show out of this. I tell you what, give us half of the Major and then give the Hawkins the last half.
Thank you, Fred. Fred, it's nice to be here, but in all fairness, I feel I should make a confession. This is the first time I've ever listened to your radio program in the studio.
Now, see, the Major got a laugh on that. I don't know what's the sound. He must have mugged. He had the bifocals. Looked up and...
I rarely miss it at home. Yours is such a pleasant program. It's always so happy, so gay. It's always such fun. I've never heard you say an unkind thing or give utterance to an unpleasant thought. And I always laugh at your jokes, Fred. That is, nearly always.
The Major murdered them with that.
Yeah, he killed them. I know, Fred. Fred, I know the hours of...
You're a straight man all your life.
Fred, I know the hours of thought and anxiety that you put into your program and your desire to justify the faith of your listeners and your sponsors. But whatever the labor, Fred, it's worth it. for the good it does, for the cheer it brings, for the happiness it spreads in every city, town, and hamlet throughout the land. Your program time is tonic time to me. Fred Allen, at the end of 30 years, your star is
you made
still...
A cut in there. What do you mean?
You want to go through the top?
Well, listen, what do you mean? Now, you're supposed to... Who cut out? Mr. Shaw? Is Bill Shaw here?
Bill did it.
Where's Bill?
He's hiding in the control room.
Now, you're supposed to be impersonating the major, and you deliberately make a cut.
Shall we put it up to the top?
Well, I know. Now, it's too late now. The gist, the thread, the storyline is distorted. But, how would you like it if I were impersonating Amos and Andy and only did Andy? I mean, the same thing. Well, go ahead.
Fred Allen, at the end of 30 years...
We got enough time. Maybe you don't have to go to the... How's the time going? Got all we want? All right, well, just give us the end for old time's sake. Well, all right, never mind. I'll take it up from there. Thank you, Uncle Jim. You said so many nice things, and that reminds me, I had a cheap gag that was cut out of the Benny routine that I might as well put in now. We cut the thing out. That Benny was so cheap, at night he kisses a hop to save buying dental floss. Cut it out of the first show, and I'm glad that we didn't mention it here because, as you see, it wouldn't have gotten anything. Well, thanks a lot, Uncle Jim, for helping us murder these few minutes. Now, could we get a cord to get out of this? How do you get out? That's right. If the major knew that was going to happen, he'd have stayed out of bed, wouldn't he? But all right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here are the Merrimacks. They're going to sing Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho.
And now, those animated station breaks, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, they present a drama of domestic deceit entitled, He Caught His Wife Kissing a Stranger, or One Man's Mate is Another Man's Poison. Overture, Professor. The scene, the home of Cuthbert Allen, the good old tycoon. Time, the present. Cuthbert Allen is just entering the living room.
Lorraine, my darling wife, goodbye.
Oh, Cuthbert, husband, must away so soon.
A man in the girdle business has to get around, darling.
Business, always business.
Well, goodbye, Lorraine. I shall...
Hold it, Ellen. Stop that sketch.
Now, wait a minute. Is that somebody heckling? Who is this?
It is I, Ellen.
Oh, a college man, hey? What is the big idea of stopping our play?
Now, hold your horses, Ellen. Come up, gentlemen.
Okay, TV.
Come in, TV.
Say, what is this? Who are you three guys?
We're from the advertising agency presenting this program, Ellen. I'm Burke.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Jake.
Kirk and Jerk, the new radio planning board.
Well, if you're advertising agency men, where are your memo pads?
We're incognito tonight.
Oh,
check
nice.
Kirk.
Check for...
Check Jerk.
Check, boy.
Now, look. Wait a minute. Look, fellas, I'm right in the middle of a sketch.
And that is why we're here, Adam. The planning board, Burke.
Kirk.
And Jake.
Is checking up on all of the agency's radio programs. We're constantly planning new features. Your sketches recently have not been hitting on all six.
Yeah, they haven't been ringing the bell.
They've had nothing on the ball.
There have been complaints?
Yeah, there's a rumor rampant that your art players haven't gotten a laugh since that eagle broke loose.
Yeah, why can't you release an eagle every week?
Well, eagles are deceitful. They rehearse one thing and do another.
However, that is beside the point. Now, our planning board, Burke.
Kirk.
And Jake.
Is here to improve your sketch material. Now, what is this skit you're doing here tonight?
Well, it's nothing. A little domestic drama. It's about...
No. That won't do. It lacks humor.
There's no suspense.
It drags at the end.
Well, you haven't heard it yet.
Yes, that's right. We work so fast, we're getting ahead of you. Now, I'll tell you, Alan, here's what you do.
Now, let's have a quick run through of the sketch.
Right. If it makes us laugh, you can do it on the air.
Oh, now, look. This sketch is 40 minutes long.
We haven't got time to audition the whole thing.
No cake and then...
Yeah, boil it down.
Give us the meat of it.
Yes, yes, and if we like it, you can go ahead with the show.
Well, all right, sit down, boys. We'll run through a brief synopsis. Right,
yeah, we'll
give us that overture again, Peter. The scene, still the home of Cuthbert Allen, the girdle tycoon. Cuthbert again enters the living room.
Lorraine, my darling wife, goodbye.
Oh, Cuthbert, must away so soon.
A man in the girdle business can't wait for his hips to come in. Rather good, that.
You're a con, Cuthbert.
That's what I keep telling them down at the office.
And what do they say?
Oh, they just laugh and say, you stole it from Bob Hope. Well, goodbye, dear. I shall be back Saturday.
Goodbye, Cuthbert. Thank heavens he's gone at last. Now to release my lover from the closet. Come out, Drexel. The coast is clear.
Lorraine, my dream girl.
Drexel, kiss me, my Adonis.
Prepare your pretty pucker.
Darling.
I'm back. I forgot my cane. My wife.
My husband.
My hat.
Drexel Scurvy. You, my best friend, kissing my wife.
Lorraine loves me, Cuthbert. Go, leave us a bee.
What?
Here is a nickel. This will take you to the Bowery. You can become a bomb.
Why, you insulting dog? Take this.
Don't shoot, Cuthbert. Oh!
I did.
Cuthbert, you've killed him.
Drexel Scurvy went too far, Lorraine.
You mean he was taking me out of your life?
Oh, it wasn't that. The dirty rat gave me a lead nickel. Well, there you are, gentlemen. What's your verdict?
That sketch won't do it.
Yeah, it's too corny.
It sounds like something Orson Welles might have written as a boy.
Now, wait, this sketch is sure fire. It hasn't missed for 20 years. What is suddenly wrong with it now?
Well, frankly, I don't know. It's head of the planning board of Burke Kirk.
Enjoy.
I'll have to ask for comment. Kirk, what was your reaction?
Well, it lacks color and charm. The public today wants stories like Gone with the Wind.
Kirk is right, Alan. People always enjoy a drama laid in the old South.
Yeah, where one character says to the other one, shoot the yam to me, Sam.
All right. Now, we can do that same sketch you just heard in Gone with the Wind style.
Oh, yeah.
See how you like this, boys. Some southern music, Peter. Scarlet, my magnolia bud, you're. I'm leaving you.
But I'm hungry, Red. There ain't no food in the house.
I'm getting food for you, Scarlet. Some man's inviting me and my regiment to lunch.
Picnic?
Selznick. Goodbye, y'all.
Alone at last. Now to get my lamb pie out of the closet. Red's gone, sugar.
Scarlet, my mint julep.
Ashley, my planter's punch with an egg in it.
I've got a surprise for you all, Scarlet. It's food. Look.
Ashley, a can of soup.
Yeah.
Kiss me, my hero. Sugar, darling.
I'm back, y'all. Scarlet.
Red.
Jeepers.
My best friend, Ashley Wilkie, is kissing my wife.
Scarlet loves me, Red Butler. Skedaddle.
Not skedaddle.
Yes, skedaddle. And take this can of soup with y'all.
Why, you two-timing hound, take this, y'all.
Oh, y'all.
Oh, Red Sugar, you killed Ashley.
He went too far, Scarlet.
You mean giving you a can of soup to replace
my
love?
It wasn't that. Look at the label on this chair soup.
Why, that insulting Red.
That's why I shot him. That traitor had the nerve to offer me, a southern gentleman, Yankee bean soup.